Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. And I had another message prepared for today, but it wasn't quite what the Lord wanted me to teach. It began well, but it wasn't quite finished. There was something else missing, and I realized that there was more to the story because there were some personal examples that I needed to share. This being Resurrection Weekend, and Jesus said, "It is finished," I feel compelled to also finish this message completely with everything that God is telling me has to be relayed concerning the cross. So our topic today is the cross is real. And this is going to be not your typical teaching, but it is going to give you a little bit of insight as well as personal examples of what it means to honor the cross at this time. When Jesus spoke the words, "It is finished," he was definitely on the cross about to die. But those words were loaded. What was finished? His death? Sure, it was his death, but there was so much more behind the purpose of his death than just to die on the cross. And sure, Christians will say he died for our sins. But this cross is much, much more than sins. This is about a whole new life. It's about the kingdom. It's about what we have in Christ through his suffering and his resurrection. The cross is real. This is not folklore. This is not a fairy tale. There are some significant things that happen when we take the cross seriously as believers. Now, I've been praying about this for a while now, what this message was supposed to be about, and my spirit has been grieved, just really grieved, and I didn't understand why. But then the Lord brought me back to this message of the cross, that so many people, and especially here in America, and perhaps even around the world, have forgotten the true meaning of the cross. It's not about religion. This is about an entire transformation of a life. His life was sown in the earth as a son of God to reap a harvest of sons and daughters of God in the earth. Which means once we come to Jesus Christ, we have quite a responsibility to uphold. We're supposed to continue what he started and continue in it until he comes. So we need to take heed to the seriousness of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because these messages are the cornerstones of our faith. If you think about it, if Jesus had not died and resurrected, there would be no Christianity. If he had only died and not resurrected, he would have been listed among other faith healers and gods. But that's not what happened. Jesus is the only one in history who died and came back as he claimed that he would do, and for the purpose for which he did so. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about today. Now, I remember when I went to my church or joined my church in Los Angeles many years ago. I had come from a Baptist background, and the Lord was having me to become a new member of the church. And one of the things that happened was I raised my hand to join the church. And when I went there, the woman asked me, "How do you know you're saved?" And I'm like, "Because I know." It's like, I had an experience with God. I know. And I said, I just drove 2,000 miles across country hearing his voice saying, "Follow me." So I know he's alive. I can't verify that he came out of the grave, but I knew for a fact that I had been transformed and that he had done it by his spirit. But that's all I knew. And it was interesting because she said, "Well, that's good, but we prefer to go by the scriptures." So she took me to Romans chapter 10. And she said, what the scripture says about being saved, you can find it Romans chapter 10. In verse 9 and 10, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Well, I read that scripture and I said, okay, I believe that I'm saved, but I have no proof physically that he died. I wasn't there. I know he's alive. So if he died, I can verify that he's alive, but that's all I knew. And he's alive in me. And it was interesting that I had the lady chuckling because how do you know you're saved? I knew because there's a transformation in my life. I was no longer the same person. I felt different. I thought different. The love of God would take over my heart. So I knew that there was something. But what they wanted to do is go by scripture. So today we're going to go through some of those things and go by scripture, because just repeating a prayer or going to church does not make you saved. Salvation is a transformation of the heart. It's a transformation where, as it says in Colossians, you're no longer under the power of the kingdom of darkness, which means Satan and demonic things, but you've been translated. You've been delivered out of one thing and translated into something else. And what the cross is that place of transformation. In fact, years ago, I wrote a book called The Superheroes of the Cross. It's still available on Amazon if you want it in digital or paperback. But the Lord had given me this vision of the cross as being our transformation phone booth, like it was with Superman and the superheroes. You always saw a change that happened, but I never saw Clark Kent go into the phone booth and not come out. And that's what the Lord had told me many Christians do. We stay at the cross and we never transform. We feel sad. We get sad around Easter time. We get sad around communion time. But we never go past that point of the cross. But he gave me this vision of the cross being a transformational phone booth because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go in and go through the cross because there's something on the other side. And that I have personally experienced. And I want to share that with you as well in this episode. So as Christians, we're being required to go through this transformation. It's not just about works. It's about a heart being transformed to desire to be everything God called you to be. People say, well, how do I know? Well, Jesus says no man can come to him except that the Spirit draws him. So there'll be a tugging on your heart. Some people get pushed. Some people are dragged by the Spirit, depending on the circumstances. But there's a conviction in the heart that lets you know you got to get right with God. And once you're saved, that conviction will remain there. Now, people try to shove it out. They'll try to think, well, that's just me. No, there is the Spirit of God living within you, and he will always be the one thing that will convict you of doing things right or wrong. And that's one of the ways you can tell that you are saved, because you'll be convicted quite often, even before you speak sometimes. Now, one of the things Jesus did before he passed is he talked to his disciples about his death. But I don't think they really understood it. Much like we don't really understand a lot of details of the death of Jesus Christ without going into the realm of the Spirit and comparing it with what the scriptures are saying. So in John chapter 12, Jesus is telling him, I'm about to be glorified. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, he was talking about his life. And this is a symbolism of for Christianity means it should mean to every Christian that there's a transformation. Just like the corn of wheat falls and it's in the ground, it dies, but it dies for a purpose. So it has to go from one form to another to be able to glorify God and bring forth fruit. And that's what Jesus was saying. And he continues in the scripture, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Meaning, if we want to follow him and we want to have eternal life, we have to give up this world. We're still in the world, but it can't be first place. We have to be transformed by our renewing of our mind to think like God thinks and realize we're new creatures under Christ with a new purpose and a new family. Then Jesus says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If we want to serve him, it's not just about going to church. We have to follow his example so that in the end we'll be where he is and be honored by God. And then he says, now is my soul troubled. He was talking about heading to the cross next. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And then he says, Father, glorify thy name. And the scripture says, there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people that stood there heard it and said, it thunders. And others said, an angel spoke to him. But Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Pause. He was saying, be glorified, Father. And that voice responded for our sakes. And then he goes on to say, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now we're going to focus on what Jesus was saying here. We heard the voice from heaven speaking. I have glorified it and I'm glorified again. And he was telling the people that this voice didn't come because of him. It came because of us. To let us know that we see Jesus going through. If we're going to follow him, we'll go through the same thing so that God can be glorified. But he's also letting us know that the prince of this world, or the satanic powers, were being cast out by Jesus as being lifted up on the cross. And that's the important part of the message, that we're no longer subject to the devil, no longer subject to the powers of darkness, but that we have to lay down our lives and follow his example if we are to partake of his sufferings on the cross. Now, I want to focus on this a little bit because this is a spiritual truth about God's kingdom. It's a kingdom of sowing and reaping. As we've said before, it's a life for a life. We have to give up our lives to receive his life. We have to die to ourselves to receive what he has in this new life. So we go through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ by our actions, by our belief, by our faith. So if we've died with him, we can only live with him if we obey him and follow his spirit. And that's one of the things that isn't exactly taught the way it should be according to scripture, according to how God has spoken it by his spirit. People believe they get saved and they go to heaven, but no, there's something else here. The Bible says in John 1:12 that those who receive Christ have within them the power and the means and authority to become sons of God. Or in other words, we have the power now within us to walk like Jesus walked in our everyday life. And we can't do that on our own. It takes much prayer and it takes the Holy Spirit. Because we're new creatures now that we believe in his death and we receive it. But now we need help getting where we need to go. And I remember years ago, I asked the Lord, why was it there so many Christians denied the Holy Spirit? They knew him as a person, but they never wanted to receive his spirit, as Jesus said that we ought. And his answer was interesting because he said Jesus could not walk the earth without the Holy Spirit. Christians think that they can live life without the Holy Spirit dictating their path, whereas Jesus did it daily. So to walk in his path and follow him, we have to do as he did. And that means the Spirit of the Lord has to be our guide in all things. The Bible said he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. If we want the will of God manifest in our life, we have to let the Spirit pray through intercession. That means getting filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues and allowing the Spirit to speak through us. And as the scripture talk about how the earth is groaning, all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. That's what's in us. But it has to manifest. It has to come forth. But it can only break forth through our systems when we are determined to have what God says that's ours through the cross and to walk in obedience to his will and his spirit. Think about how many times Jesus said to his disciples, you know, if you're going to be my disciples, if you're going to be my follower, take up your cross and follow my example, to take up your cross daily. And it's not an easy thing to do, but it is something that is required. Romans 8:17, when it talks about that as new creatures, we are heirs of God. As sons of God, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. So this is not something that comes automatic. We have the potential, but if we want to see that potential realized in our lives, we have to go through a period of suffering. Now, it doesn't mean we have to necessarily die on a cross, but we have to take up our assignments, what God has given us, and walk through the pain and suffering associated with that, because there will be persecution. As Jesus showed us, there were people coming against us. There were people who we love that will talk against us, plot against us. But the whole thing is that's part of the walk of being a Christian. Now, some of you may have heard this in some of the writings or some of the things I've said in the past. First time I saw the cross was when he took me from my Baptist church, sent me across country to Los Angeles. And the first time I sat in my spiritual father's church, and I wept through the whole service and didn't understand why. I said, Lord, what's happening to me? And he showed me bathing at the cross. I was in his pool, just bathing in the cross and going, dipping under. And he said, you were being cleaned up for service. So I didn't just go to the cross and accept Jesus as my Lord. I was in obedience now going for service. And that was the first time I saw the pool and the cross in the realm of the Spirit. And then years later when I was on assignment, and I remember I ran into a whole bunch of wickedness, a lot of witchcraft and crazy things were going on. And in the Spirit, I was praying about it. And the Lord showed me these chalices. Now, I wrote about this in the War Journal book, the very first one, because this is the first time and it was kind of shocking when it happened. Because when we decide we're going to follow God, we have to do things his way. We can't determine our own way how to do what he's telling us to do. Well, I wrote about it because I told the Lord what was going on and I asked him to help me. And he responded by giving me a vision. And in this vision, I saw Jesus standing beside me in the Spirit, and he gave me a very large chalice. Chalice is a cup. It was a huge cup. And I took it. This is my spirit doing. My mind is trying to figure out, what is this? My spirit took the cup and drank all of it. And then he handed me an even larger chalice, and I drank all of it. And when I was finished drinking from both of the cups, then he congratulated me, and he smiled. Now, my spirit knew what was going on, but my mind had no clue. And then after that, he gave me a vision of the chalices. And he started talking to me about what this meant. And then he gave me a vision, and I saw two crosses. And I'm like, oh, what is this? He was on one, and I was on the other. And he said that this was where I had made a determination to follow after his plan. Now, this was serious, because I was in a situation which some people would say was dangerous, was kind of scary, but yet this was my call. I want you to understand that Jesus going to the cross was not easy for him either. The Bible talks about how he sweat drops like blood. He was almost dying just with the thought of what he had to go through. Now, we may not have to go through anything that significant, but this is the reality of the cross that we need to come back to as believers. It's not just about going to church on a Sunday or hearing a nice service. This is a life of sacrifice. This is a life of laying down what you think is important and just saying, God, not my will, but yours being done. It's like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything that he did, everything he had, he laid it down because of the knowledge, the excellent knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. And he says he count those things as dung that he may win Christ and be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law or religion, but that which is of faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And he said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto resurrection of the dead. What he's saying, he wants all of this. And he's even saying, if I'm to get what Jesus said, if I'm to be resurrected with him, this is why I'm going this route. And he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfected, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended. And he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Let us therefore, as many that are perfect, meaning in the faith, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto you. Beloved, this is where we are. Let this mind be in you. This is the mind Jesus died for, so that we can be like Christ and go for all that he's sacrificed. And it reminds me of another thing I saw in the realm of the spirit. And this I wrote about in the book, Seeking and Enjoying the True Treasure of This Life. And it's a vision that I had of Eden. But it started at the cross. This was so significant to me because I had never seen anything like this in my life. Again, I saw this pool again. This time I was bathing. I had my crown, I had my scepter, I had my robe, and I laid it aside and got in the pool of blood. And as I went under the pool of blood and I came back up, this time Jesus was standing with me. And he began bathing me like he was baptizing me in this pool himself. And this is the pool of the blood. When I say this, when I looked up, I could see the cross. I saw the blood running down the cross, but yet the pool was alive and flowing. And I was in it, and Jesus was standing there. He was at the cross. I saw his feet on the cross. This is the strangest thing. But yet he was standing with me, bathing me. And when I got out, he clothed me. And then we went behind some rocks behind the cross. It was a stone, and it was like a mountain or a hillside. And we went inside a little crack that was in the high. Well, it was a crack. I don't know if it was a crack or if it was a door. I didn't see it until we got out and he walked and we went in there. And he said, here we are. He said, this is Eden. This is the kingdom. And it was then that I realized that Eden, the kingdom, never left the earth. It's always been here. But the only way we can see it is that we have to go to a level in the realm of the spirit that we want everything that God has for us. And then our eyes are open to see it. Kind of like it was when Abraham went to sacrifice his son on an altar. And he didn't have a ram, but he put Isaac on the altar. And as soon as he went to sacrifice his son, all of a sudden there was a ram in the bush and an angel stopped him. It's about faith. It's about how well do we trust God. It's about, are we willing to live in our senses or live by the Spirit? Because as the Bible said, the just shall live by their faith, by what God says, by what we know to be true in the realm of the Spirit, regardless of what we see. But it was at that moment that I saw Eden and I walked in through Eden and I realized it's been here all the time. We just couldn't see it. We had no revelation. We were not in the realm of the spirit to be able to see it. And I thank God for that. because he told me to invite everybody for that trip. Anybody and everybody could see Eden and walk in it. And it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever done. We danced in the flowers. We danced in the trees, around the trees. It was like, it was a happy time. I had made it. He says, tell everyone. But he also let me know to have that experience. It's like the one scripture, you know, the parable that he gave, like a man that found a precious pearl in the middle of a field. He sold everything he had to have that field. And that's what we have to do. We have to sell everything. We have to give everything up to follow him. And that's what the cross means. That's the real story behind the cross. Giving up our lives, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for the one who rose and died for us. That's why we get saved. So the cross is very real. But now it's time for us to get real about the manifestations of what we've been given because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. That's the message that's been burning in my heart. That's the message that God wants to release for this season. And it's my prayer that this resurrection weekend will truly transform your hearts and your lives miraculously, far beyond anything you can imagine, that you will see Jesus and you will see Eden and his kingdom and walk in it fully. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.